In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello friends, and welcome back to Common Prayer. This is day two in a row with me as I get to lead our time together. And today, friends, we get to talk resurrection. We get to talk a little Easter in the middle of November because, quite frankly, 2020 needs a little more Easter and a little more resurrection. Am I right? I hope this finds you doing well. I'm excited to talk in Mark 16, following up our conversation, our prayer yesterday. Through the crucifixion, we get to the resurrection today. So with that being said, let's begin in a time of quiet again, bringing our hearts, bringing our minds, bringing all of who we are to the moment, and allowing Jesus to minister to us in this space, in this time, with all of that. So let's calm down for just 1 minute, and then we will read our text for today. So I invite you to step into that quiet now. Our scripture reading for today comes from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. It says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salomon, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Do not be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Now again, this text, this story, is the center point of our faith. It is the high point of all that we celebrate. It is so central that Paul in Corinthians would later say that if it isn't for the resurrection, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we are to be pitied most above all people. I mean, the resurrection, the response to God being killed on the cross, being buried in the tomb, and raising to new life, that is the center of what we celebrate. And I think there's this tendency in us when we read resurrection, that old axiom that, you know, familiarity breeds unfamiliarity rings true in this story. We get so accustomed to this that when we encounter it in the middle of November, it seems odd and a bit strange to look at. But this story of resurrection is just popping with life. And, you know, one of the things I love about this particular text and all the resurrection accounts is that element of surprise that is in each one of these. I mean, think about it. The women, they're going to the tomb and they're expecting to just anoint the dead body of Jesus. And even on the way there, they're like, "Who will roll the stone away? It's large, it's big." And they show up and they're like, "Someone has already moved the stone." And then they look inside, and instead of seeing Jesus' dead body that Mark says, they see this young man sitting there who's like, hey, you're looking for Jesus, but he has risen. And there's this sort of like shocking element to this, where everything that happens in this text is surprising. It's boom, 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 surprise, surprise, because it isn't what they anticipated. And the truth is, when we think of resurrection, it isn't what we anticipate. It's always new. It's always fresh. It's always something else. You see, resurrection is about this new thing that God is coming to bear in this world. It is about new creation bursting forth right in the midst of this broken one. It is the kingdom of God shining through, puncturing a hole through the brokenness of reality. It's about revealing that this world, with all of its death and brokenness and violence and pain, that this world is actually the parody. And the new creation that the prophets spoke of, that Jesus claims has come near in the kingdom of God. It is, the reality is here and now. And resurrection breaks into the moment. It is the shocking, strange, profound moment in which we see hope. In which we see hope breaking into the darkness. It's, you know, resurrection happens when we see the surprising smile of a newborn. It's resurrection happens in the sunrise and the sunset, the beauty that resets every single day. It's the laughter of good friends. It's a good cup of coffee. It's that song that your heart resonates with, the embrace of a loved one. It's the cool breeze of fall as we are reminded that this moment is new life. It's freedom, liberation, new beginning, new birth. I mean, all of this is the sort of rebirth of life. Jürgen Moltmann, who's one of my favorite theologians, he says this. He says, resurrection is not a consoling opium soothing us with the promise of a better world in the hereafter. But rather, it is the energy for a rebirth of this life. It's the hope that doesn't point to another world. It is focused on the redemption of this one. In the spirit, resurrection is not merely expected, it is already experienced. Resurrection happens every day. In love, we experience many deaths and many resurrections. We experience resurrection through the rebirth to living hope. We experience resurrection through the love which already brings us life here and now. And we experience resurrection through liberation. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I mean, that is a vision of hope and of resurrection. Church, it is the reality that death no longer reigns, that brokenness no longer reigns. It is the new hope that is breaking in now. And I love this text because this sort of hope, this sort of shocking reality that breaks into the moment, well, I think it's captured well in verse 8 when it says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. Trembling and bewildered. You see, most of us can resonate with the death that has taken place this year. And again, death metaphorically, with all the brokenness of this year, of all the pain and the hurt and the hard times, we resonate with that. But resurrection confronts all of it, saying this world is worth redemption. This world, God is up to something. In this place, something new is happening. And for the women at the tomb, they were trembling and bewildered. They were scared and elated, because there was something new happening. And church, may I suggest that what we need is a dose of resurrection. We need a dose of something that rattles us to our core to say that this is worth trembling and being bewildered about, because God is up to something. Something new is in the air. And resurrection is as true now as it is in April. And church, this is our hope. So with all of that hope in mind, I want to invite us to sit in that hope. So take a deep breath. I want you to breathe in that spirit of hope. You know, the Greek and Hebrew words for spirit is the same words as breath, and I can't help but think of that. When we breathe, we are sitting in the very spirit of God. We are in that presence. So as you sit in that, I want you to think of the shock and surprise that ran through these women's minds and their hearts, as what they anticipated was more death, but what they found was the exact opposite: resurrection. For the next moment or so, I want you to just think about, what are you expecting next? Has this year beat you up so much that what we are expecting is more death, more pain, more hurt? And certainly we will experience that. But these women were still in the throes of grief. We're expecting more of that. They too were feeling that sorrow. They too were feeling that hurt and that pain. I want you just to sit in that. Allow the Holy Spirit to highlight where your heart has grown cold and callous. As you sit in those cold and callous places of your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life into them, to breathe resurrection into it. Because what we celebrate as the center point of our faith in resurrection is the hope and the reality that Jesus is up to something in this world, and he is bringing about new creation and new life right here, right now. Final minutes, I just want you to think what ran through those women's minds as they're expecting death and brokenness, and they look inside the tomb, and what's inside the tomb is a man who says, listen, he has risen, he is not here. That shock is resurrection. How do you need resurrection today? So, church, may you, this Easter in November, find hope in resurrection. May you walk in the truth of new creation that is breaking in here and now. May you embrace the living hope of a new birth, of a new tomorrow. May we die to our old selves, leaving behind the death that entangles, because we know resurrection lies ahead of us. May we crucify those expectations of brokenness, those expectations of addiction and sin and all of that. And may we put those to death through the work of Jesus so we can embrace new life. And may you today walk in the hope of resurrection and the essence of a new hope. Amen. Amen.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.